Manabada boy side lessons from the late Parshas Matos Masei. Parshas Masei in Artzeinu HaKadosha. Finally, after all of these many, many weeks, we catch up with Artzeinu HaKadosha. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Baruch Hashem. So therefore, I must speak about Parshas Masei because it's the parsha that finally brings us ba'achdus. And it is no mistake that we join in achdus as we start Rosh Chodesh Av. Because of course, this is one of the most important things for us to work on during this time, is achdus. A very interesting idea, as we know, Parshas Matos and Masei speak about the Masot of Bnei Yisrael. And in Parshas Masei, we learn about the different journeys, the 42 journeys that they took. And interestingly, for the first time, we are told something very interesting about Aaron HaKohen. And it tells us that as we again, go back and forth by Yisuv, from here, from there. Different reasons, of course, why exactly we are told each of the places. So it says, it tells us, Vayal Aaron HaKohen El Harahar, Al Pi Hashem, Vayamat Sham. And he dies. Moshe, we know that Moshe is going to die on this now, later on, of course, as we start Sefer Devarim next week, we will learn about the ending of his life. On, of course, Zayin Adar, but the Torah doesn't tell us when he dies. But here it says, "Vayamat Sham Aaron HaKohen b'shanat ha'arba'im letzeit b'nei Yisrael mi'mitzrayim b'chodesh ha'chamishi b'echad l'chodesh." The fifth month, which of course corresponds to Rosh Chodesh Av. This coming Friday is the Yortzeit of Aaron HaKohen. Interestingly enough, it's Av. And of all people, we might think should not be Rosh Chodesh Av, right? It should be Aaron HaKohen because of what he did. And we are told, as we know, that Aaron ben Shloshesh Shem Me'ashana family Bahar Har. And we know that there was a bechia, there was a tremendous amount of crying. We actually learned the halacha of Shloshim from actually Aaron HaKohen. And with all due respect to Miriam, and even to Moshe, there was no crying like there was the crying of Aaron HaKohen. And we understand why there were so many babies in that generation who were named little Aralas, little Aarons, because of the Shalom bias, the Oyev Shalom, the Roydev Shalom that Aaron promoted. And famously, I'm sure you all know, we learned in kindergarten, that Aaron HaKohen would go to the husband and wife that were fighting. Apparently, this is a thing. I don't understand this. I guess the easiest thing is you just stay away from your wife for 8 weeks, and then you know you don't have fights. But okay, this is hard. I don't understand fighting with my wife. But apparently, in the Midbar, there was husbands and wives that would fight. For example, last night when my wife woke me up at 3:30, she got a phone call that somebody was leaving the campus, and then at 2:30, and then there was but I didn't fight with her. Which is not chas v'sholom. So what would he do? He would go to the husband and he would say, you know, your wife really misses you. She wants to know if you'll go out to a fancy reserve cut dinner. She's like, my wife said she wants to go out to a reserve cut? She's so cheap, I can't believe it. Wow. And then he would run to the wife and he would say, you know, I spoke to your husband. He really feels bad what he did. He wants to take you out to reserve cut. And they would both show up at reserve cut. Not sure exactly who's paying for this. And then at the end, the bill would come, and they would say, Aaron HaKohen paid for this. It's on Aaron. And they would love each other again, and when they had a child, they would name it for Aaron, because they all knew what was going on. So the question is, why the Torah tells us when Aaron dies? This is not something that's normally done. And in fact, many of them, of course, pick up Dafka on this idea, but dafka on the Rosh Chodesh idea, just as an example. The Ha'im Mekdover says the following. The Ha'im Mekdover says, "B'chom achshim lechad b'chodesh, lo hodiyah haksov, lo b'misas Moshe." We don't know when Moshe died. We later on find out it's famously Zayin Adar, which is of course a day that is commemorated. It's the day that he was born, the day that he died, and it's a day that's commemorated specifically. Actually, of a day really of Elus. It's when the Chevre Kedushas fast on that day. V'lo b'misas Miriam. We don't know when Miriam dies. Hachodesh v'ayom. Ki im b'misas Aaron. Lamdeinu, says the Emek Dover, sheba oysa hachodesh gorem liyos. La satan. The gedulot avodah samishkan. Shehaya al yidei Aaron hakoyen harosh. It was Aaron hakoyen, of course, who started the concept of Mishkan, who dedicated the Mishkan. And on the month of his death, umezes simon ledoyros bechodesh av yu nichrav beis hamikdash. There's some shefa of Aaron HaKoyen who built the Mishkan, and on that month it would be nichrav. We need further understanding to understand this. Av is the month of tikkun. Rosh Chodesh this week reminds us of the relationship that we are missing, the relationship of Av. As your Rebbe beautifully put it, and maybe if I have the schus of expounding upon this on Tisha B'Av morning, that it's very difficult for us to mourn over something that's missing. As we expounded upon in the lessons from the Lev this morning, we spoke on WhatsApp, we said that it's difficult. I'll just reiterate, because I think it's such, I don't know, it's so elementary, a vort from Rav Shmuel Eliyahu from the great Albert Einstein, which I don't think I've ever heard of Dvar Torah from him that quoted Albert Einstein. That Albert Einstein says when we do something and we fail, and when we try again and we fail, we have to change. We have to do something else so that it goes better. Right? If a guy, I'm sorry to bring it to this level, but if a guy's a really good basketball player, but he cannot shoot a foul shot for his life, right? He can't. He's terrible at foul shots. So you ask some of the famous players, I don't want to say the names in the base measures, who were horrible foul shot shooters. So they talk about how they hired somebody to teach them how to shoot a foul. It's great. It's the greatest bet. And they did different things, so they got a little bit better, at least a 50%. He says, why is it every single year we find ourselves in the same 3 weeks and we do exactly the same thing? We think we're so frum and we refrain from listening to music, which puts us in a bad mood. So we're very curt with people sometimes. And we're all machmir and the 9 days are going to come and we're going to stop taking showers because we're so machmir. We don't care about covet abrios. And we're certainly not going to listen to music. And we won't even allow any haircut machines or shavers in our bunks because we're so machmir, you know. Whatever. All the chumers in the world. But for what? To show up at Tisha B'Av? For what? For what? Why are we not Aaron HaKoyen? Why don't we get it? Why don't we say, there's a change is needed here. Go to the level of saying, I want an Av back. I want my dad. It's a famous story. I'm fortunately famous because I know the story. About someone who would talk about how difficult his father was. He was such a bad father. We were scared to death of him. He says, you know, when my dad walked into the room, you know what we would say? Misha nichnas av. When dad comes into the room, and that's a feeling that we have. Av comes, we're put in the mood. And it's difficult in camp because every other day you're going to have a siyum and you're going to eat meat. So you're not even going to feel it. But the relationship of Aaron was much, much different than the relationship that we had with Moshe. Because Moshe, in the beginning of our parasha, the Torah tells us, as Rashi comments on, Moshe was unique. Lokam b'Yisrael k'Moshe od. Moshe was the Navi of all Navim. And what does the Pasuk tell us? Vayidaber Moshe el rosh hamatos l'bnei Yisrael leimor zeh hadavar asher tziva Hashem. Rashi picks up on zeh hadavar. Moshe is unbecoming. He was different than all of the other Nevi'im. All the other Nevi'im, when they have a Nevu'ah, it says, Koyamar Hashem. But not Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had this direct conduit to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Koy Amar Hashem, says Rashi. Bechatzos Halayla, Hanaviyim Nisovu, Bekoy Amar Hashem. But he was Zehadavar. Zehadavar was the special relationship that Moshe Rabbeinu had with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ki'ilu, the Ribbono Shel Olam was talking to me, peh lepeh. It was a relationship that came from Shamayim to Aretz. What Moshe tried to do is show us the beauty of the Shechina and bring it down to this earth. Whereas Aaron, his brother, did the opposite. He tried to bring the earthly nature that we are and be Mekadosh it in this world. And I would argue that unfortunately in the world that we live in, we need to be like Aaron. We're not at the level that it can accept a Moshe. We can't be on a mountain for 40 days and 40 nights and not eat and be kulo spiritual. We need to show the Ribbono Shel Olam that we care on the ground. We need to be ones that are metaken chodesh av in a way that we care about our father and we go like Aaron HaKohen to people and love them and show the love and stop the fighting. And bring more people into this wonderful Beis Medrash. Be Mekadosh Hashem on the earth. That's what will bring the Shechina down. That's what this Chodesh is all about. That's what we're preparing ourselves for. This experience of an Av, of having a dad come back to us. I have the great zchus for the last number of years to go on a Kiruv trip together with my friend Charlie Harari, name drop. And there we go together with my new zchus, a wonderful individual, Ari Shabbat, who runs the trip together with 200-300 men, 50-year-old men, who've never been to Eretz Yisrael in their life, or maybe when they were bar mitzvah. And they are not yet religious. Generally, in most cases, their wives have been on a trip, and their wives actually want to get closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but the husbands are like, what are you talking about? Like, just give you an example. On the first day, we go to Sfat. And there, one of their first stops is the Sfat Mikveh. Beautiful breslov mikveh, gorgeous spa-like mikveh. And we start to explain what Taras HaMishpach is. And you can understand, they never know. And then we trick them, I'm being honest, I'm sorry to say this, with Gnevas Dasha in Kamohu. And after they see this gorgeous mikveh, we say to them, you know, the women have their thing, we have our thing. Now we're going to go down to the Arizal's mikveh. They're thinking it's like a spa, it's beautiful, it's going to be amazing. And there's going to be separate rooms for everyone. And you're going to press a button when you're ready to go. You know? And then we all, excuse me for being crass, but we all stand on a line naked and we go into the Arizal's mikveh. And there's a mimer that says, just parenthetically, there's a mimer that says that a person who goes to the mikveh once in the Arizal's mikveh is machaper b'chol avonos. And there's an amazing feeling after these men come out of the mikveh, the freezing cold mikveh. I can't explain it to you because I'm not from that world, but I've seen it time and time again. And we usually get about 90, 95% of the men to go into this mikveh. And you know what it looks like, so it ain't easy. One of my favorite svarim, the Zeresh Shimshon, on our parsha, speaks about this relationship that Aaron HaKohen had. He actually quotes the Arizal. And he speaks about how we were all born into the neshama world. We all have this neshama within us. And we explain, based on the chet of the Arizal explains, based on the chet of Adam HaRishon, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to take the sparks that didn't sin, and that was the ruach that we speak about in the words that he said. And that's why Dafka Moshe is able to say Zeh HaDavar, because it comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we try in our lives to have that zchus of speaking appropriately like it's the words of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But when you see these men come out of the mikveh, oftentimes they're crying. And Charlie gives this whole speech right before about dropping the baggage, about saying to yourself, enough is enough. You know, there are some people that are fighting for a million years with another person. Or their family, right? They told, you can marry anybody in the world, but not that family. Not that family, because your grandfather got into a fight with their grandfather, and they don't even know what the fight is about. They can't let go. Sometimes we have to let go. One individual usually is on the trip. He tells the story. Not a religious person. That he was a very successful business person, and his boss was involved in a Ponzi scheme that took millions and millions of dollars from his friends, and he didn't know what he was doing. And most of his friends understood that he had nothing to do with it, but he lost fortunes of all of his friends. And he said, I've been carrying this along my entire life. I am a bad Jew. I'm a bad person. I should have known better. And he said, and then I went into the Arizal's mikveh. And I realized it's time to just forget. It's time to move on. It's time, as we said, to do things a little bit differently, as Albert Einstein taught us. And this, my first year that I did the trip, this guy comes up to me and he puts his arm around me and he starts hysterically crying. And he says, I'm such a bad person. I'm a terrible person. I said, what's going on? He says, my wife went on this trip just a few months ago and she came home and she said to me, honey, I don't want to become religious, but I want new takanos in our house. She didn't say the word takanos. She says, I want to light candles every Friday night. He's like, that's awesome. I love it. He says, you know what? And I want to have one Shabbos meal where the entire family, no matter where they are, what they have to come for Friday night. He says, that's a great idea. And he says, one more thing I want. She says, anything. This sounds great. This is wonderful. I want to keep Taras HaMishpacha. He says, that's great. That's wonderful. I love, what is that, by the way? And when he explains it, he flips out and goes crazy. You're a fanatic. You're a Haredi. Oy vey, you know. He says, I get it now. I can't explain it to you. I get it now. He's crying. He says, I'm an idiot. What? I said, pick up the phone and call your wife right now. Right now. Call her now and tell her. He's like, I can't call her now. It's 1 o'clock. I go, no. Call her now because you're going to forget about it in the morning. You know what that relationship is, Rabbi Yisai? That's somebody who sees his dad. That's somebody who wakes up one morning and says, wow. That's a closeness to Rabbonu Shalom we can only hope for. That's what this month is supposed to change to. We often think it's the opposite month. It's the month where we see the Rabbonu Shalom in the most difficult way ever possible. As the song says, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. No, not in this month. No. This is the month we have to be like Aaron HaKohen. We have to take the difficulties of the world that we live in and bring it up to Shemayim and say, Hashem, I'm going to take away the Chilul Hashem. The halal, the opening that is there, that Hashem is not there because it's based on English isn't here, and say, Dad, I want something different. I want to be Makadish you. And the more acts we do, they're Makadishim Hashem. Simple acts like bringing somebody into this base Medrash and saying, do you want to learn for 10 minutes? Going up to someone and saying, wow, that was a great Dvar Torah. Wow. You daven so beautifully. That shows you care about your dad. Just end off. We have to make changes so that we're zoicha to make these changes and approach the Rabbonu Shalom as he's my dad. We're so fortunate to say in Davening, Avinu Malkeinu, Slach Lanu Avinu Kichatanu, because first thing is he's my dad. Sorry to move forward a few months, but in Elul, we have the great schus of having this relationship. And we think that the relationship starts with an av, though. It's only, Elul only comes because of an av. Because I hope that when Tisha B'Av comes, we recognize the closeness that we're missing with Rabbonu Shalom. The first step of tshuva is recognizing that I'm missing something. Aaron HaKohen brought that into everybody's life. And yes, it's Dafka and Rosh Chodesh Av. Yes, it's Dafka and the Chodesh that was a Chorban. Because the Chorban, as Rav Ben said, is not just that building which we can't relate to. It's missing my dad. Beautiful story about Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Shlomo Zalman was, and I'm going to relate this to Chodesh Av instead of Chodesh Elul. He was at a Sheva Brachas. In the Haredi world, there's a custom that at Sheva Brachas, they bring in a badchan. I could make a lot of money if I became a Haredi. They bring in a jokester, and he makes jokes. And he goes, and he makes fun of the Chasam Kalam, the stomach, I don't know. So the badchan comes up to speak, to give his little Dvar Torah, his joke. And as he's in the middle of the joke, he didn't realize, in back of him walks in Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And you know that there's a whole room and they're ready for the joke and they're like, Nick, stay, no, no, no. He doesn't see Rav Shlomo. And this is the joke he tells, and this is how Rav Shlomo Zalman replies. He tells a story about a very wealthy individual who supports a certain yeshiva. And he comes to the yeshiva to speak to the Rosh Yeshiva and he says, I'm ready. My son, my daughter is ready to get married. I want the number one top bacha in the entire yeshiva, the kluger, the smartest of the smartest. And the Rosh Yeshiva says, ah, smartest of the smartest. That's that boy over there, that's the smartest one. He says, are you serious? I'm no jokes now. I want the top guy. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. You give all the money to the yeshiva. The top guy, he sits over there. She says, why don't you point him out? He says, well, your daughter can't marry him. She says, why? He says, he's a great boy. He is, you have hasmoda like you've never seen, but unfortunately he has a horrible, horrible stutter. He's a horrible stutter. Nebuch. Wasn't in the days where they, you know, were able to do treatment for that. He says, I don't care. Is he a kluger or not? He says, yeah, he's the smartest guy I've ever seen in my life in the entire yeshiva. He says, shkoyach. He says, you sure you understand what you're getting into? He says, I don't care. Shockingly, the Rosh Yeshiva goes up to this bacher and he says, you're not going to believe this. You're going out with the greatest catch in the world. Not because of the money, obviously. She's obviously a wonderful, amazing girl with great midos, blah, 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 okay. And he's like, wait, is this a joke? Hey, Rebbe, it's not funny. He says, no, the father wants. You can't imagine how excited this bacher is. And he gets ready for the date. Ah. Knocks on the door. Nebuch, you can imagine the pain. The father answers the door. And he can't even get out the words, good evening. And for 20 minutes, he says, finally, after 20 minutes, he gets out the words, good evening. They go out. And the next morning, this rich gentleman comes into the Rosh Yeshiva's office. And he says, Azai chutzpah. You send me this bacher with such a stutter from my daughter? A chutzpah. And the Rosh Yeshiva has no idea what's going on. He says, you have amnesia or something? Like, we had this discussion. You said, he says, no, but I kept asking you the same question. Is he a kluger? Is he a kluger? Is he a kluger? Is he the smart? He's the smart. If he was the smartest guy in the entire yeshiva, you know what he would have done? For 20 minutes, he would have stuttered, and then he would have knocked on the door, and the door would have opened, and he would have said, good evening. Everybody laughs. Shkoyach and Rav Shlomo Zalman is there, and this badchan is going crazy. Rav Shlomo Zalman gets up there, and he says, with fright and fear, and he's shaking. And he says, who can give this mussar on Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul? Oy vey! He says, our father is waiting for us. For an entire month, he gives us extra time. He gives us an overtime. He gives us an Elul and then an extra 10 days. Stutter now! Don't come to a Rosh Hashanah and say to the Rabbanu Shalom, no, now do the stuff. So that at Rosh Hashanah you could say a good evening to the Rabbanu Shalom. I submit to you that that's what Av is about. Av is about this idea as well. Ephraim Waxman speaks about the greatness of the month of Av, hard for us to understand, but that's the Aaron HaKohen experience. Maybe in Elul we can work to be Moshe Rabbeinu. But bring the earth to the Shamayim. Work now. It's not even yet Rosh Chodesh. On mourning the Beis HaMikdash, mourning not having a father that we can see. And with that Tzchus, Rabbi Yisai, with that understanding of being like Aaron, of being Av Jews, of saying, I want my dad back, we can come to a Tisha B'Av on a day that we can't greet the Rabbanu Shalom, we're not allowed to say good morning to everybody, and be able to say a heartfelt, Dad, I tried, I want you back. Look what I'm doing. That's what Aaron HaKohen Torah is. Ayiv Shalom, v'roidiv Shalom. Look what I did for the last 3 weeks. Look how many people I brought into the Beis Medrash. Look how many people I said I was sorry to. Look how much Torah I brought in. Look how many brachas I made with Kavana. We should be zoichu Rabbi Yisai to bring this back. Because this will, Mirtz Hashem, change the month of sorrow to the month where we remind ourselves that Aaron HaKohen was born and remind ourselves of the Mishkan. And the ultimate Mishkan, Bayit Shlishi, we should be zoichu that it should be built and it will never be destroyed. We should see that b'meheirah v'yameinu, amen.